It is Tech Talk underway on what's turned out to be a breezy but warm Saturday here in early October. And if you're near your computer or a phone, by all means, join us on the program today. StilesFinancial.com talk and text line is open, 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226. Doug, good to visit with you, and thanks for the time today.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it looks like it's going to rain here in Denver Grove, so I'm still a nice day, though. It's nice and warm outside. Now it's a little cool this morning, but now it's looking like it might rain.
Yeah, clouds have thickened up a little bit. There is shower activity on the radar picture, light shower activity between St. Cloud and Alexandria up toward Brainerd, so there could be scattered showers. It's been a while since we've had rain in this neck of the woods. As a matter of fact, really the only mention of rain came today. But other than that, dry, mild weather continues in the coming week as we already head for the middle of October. Doug, we brought this up before, and I think it is a good thing to start with. I have more and more accounts that require dual authentication. Mm-hmm. And our work email, my full-time job, we are going to that. Here at CECO, we've had that for quite a while. But and they use like an app on your phone. So if you log in on your computer for your email, they will direct you to an app on your phone. And I've got to bring up the app again. And it's One Login Protect is the name of the app. And there are others out there like it. And then you'll get a code on your smartphone, and you just click the button, and then you're in. And I really feel good about this technology. And if you work with a credit card or a bank or whomever, and they offer some sort of dual authentication, I think people should take advantage of that.
Oh, I don't think they're going to have a choice. No, my bank, Royal Credit Union, they will send you a text no matter when you log in. And so that's a dual authentication, even though I don't really have to do anything. And you mentioned software on your phone. Apple's got one. Google's got one. There, Microsoft's got one. There's a bunch of them. And the big thing with that is, as long as you can trust the company you're doing business with, by all means, use it. Absolutely. I agree. I think dual authentication, some way to narrow down that they are connecting to the original person, is absolutely crucial today. I think it's necessary.
Yeah, and it is one of those where it's generally adds an extra layer of security, and who knows what comes beyond that. Mm-hmm. But because your password could indeed be floating around out there, the idea that the bad actors, if you will, would have access to your phone and be able to get to that is very remote. And that's the idea behind it. Because let's face it, those original passwords and login information and a lot of our personal information has been floating around out there.
Oh, indeed.
For a long, long time. And the dual authentication, you know, is something that, you know, they're probably not going to have their hands on your phone.
Oh, absolutely not. I mean, that's the whole purpose. And the thing is it's mandatory now with Google. It's mandatory now with Microsoft and Apple. It's just mandatory. If you don't set up with a service or set up with a device of some type, they're going to text your phone anyway. We are tied to our phones. That IME number, I think it's IMEA, I believe it is, that identifier is extremely important today. And it's because you got your phone with you, and it's controlled by a larger entity other than us. So, yeah, it's a good thing. It really is.
There was another story that I saw that I want to bring up, and it is relatively new, and it's really important along the lines of getting updates. But the headline was this: Apple has released iOS and iPad OS updates to address two security issues, one of which could have allowed a user's passwords to be read aloud by its voiceover assistive technology. So it is a good idea to pay attention.
Now,
but that brings up a bigger issue about updates, whether it's for your smartphone or tablet or beyond that, your computer. And over the years, we have talked about this. Do you take 100% of the updates offered? And I think helping people understand what updates are super important and whether updates are, you don't need to do that. I mean, is there any easy way for people to understand that?
Well, you know, the thing is you mentioned Apple and Microsoft right off the bat, which we should. Apple, I would take every one of them, absolutely. Microsoft, I prefer to stay with the security updates and take care of my own drivers and to be aware when I'm going to change features. So it's a push. Big thing with updates. If your system tells you that your browsers require an update, you absolutely need to get those. That is critical. Watch your browsers more than anything. And if people have multiple browsers on their computer, which they should, and they, like me, have their favorites and have their go-tos, and they have a couple that maybe they haven't opened for a while, I highly recommend that they open them once a week. It'll check to see if it needs an update upon opening. And keep them up to date, whether they're in use or not. It just makes sense. It's incredibly important to understand what you're updating, why you're updating it, and how it's going to affect your machine and outcome. And here again, it wouldn't hurt to have all of your data backed up in case you got to do a fresh install. It should be a rare event that you get to that point, but it will happen sometime. Yeah, just be aware. Great advice, Steve. Absolutely wonderful.
When it comes to smartphone updates, for instance, and I've had an iPhone from the very beginning, it's not that I hated Android or anything like that. It's just that I got an iPhone early on, and I've just stuck with the product and updated the phone over the years. But generally, when I get those updates, I'll try and accept those as quickly as I can. And typically, the phone needs to be plugged in, attached to your home Wi-Fi, for instance, and you just let it take the update, etc. To me, that's the most straightforward. On my iPhone, when it needs an update, I take that as quickly as I can.
Well, you know, coincidentally, smartphones, if you're connected to, I don't care who your carrier is, AT&T, Verizon, you have no choice whether you have an Android or an iPhone at all. But Apple seems to be doing better work at this. I don't want to sound prejudiced either, but I've recently switched from an Android back to iPhone, and I think Apple does a better job. I really do. And they're coordinated with their carriers. It's just working.
Yeah.
I'm really interested to see what happens with the Linux phone if Elon Musk ever gets that thing going with the satellite service. That's going to be interesting.
Yeah, there is a lot of emerging technology, and one thing remains the same. They keep pushing out newer and fancier phones. I think we're up to iPhone 16 now. I kind of feel like a geezer right now. I have iPhone 13, and it's working just fine, and it's in good shape, and it's like, I'm not going to spend the money. I'm not going to pony up for another 2 or 3 year contract. I'm going to just kind of ride this. But I've been lucky, and I want to knock on wood that I will continue to be lucky and take care of the equipment and don't beat it up. So I've really never had any trouble getting through that time commitment with the phone I've had over the years. I just don't go through them very quickly.
Well, and you know, a lot of people are on that same page, and it makes sense. I mean, we got a disposable income on phones. These things can get expensive. I just purchased a 15 Plus. Love the phone. Absolutely love it. And the thing is it's just, I don't plan on changing that one until I absolutely have to. If you got something that works, again, we're back to the basics. If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah, Absolutely. And at some point in time, if you're rocking an even older phone, it will become obsolete. You won't be able to update it, and you will be forced. It is a shame, but the reality is, you know, they don't last forever. They do get beat up. They spend time in a pocket or a purse or a backpack. They do go through a lot over time, and eventually you will have to move on, but I'm pretty happy with how this iPhone 13 is performing. When we come back, we'll go to the stylesfinancial.com talk and text line. We've got a number of them lined up already, and that is good to see. We'll talk about a Google update. We'll get into Windows 10, McAfee, and much, much more. Also, something called the Windows app. What's that about? We'll see if we can dig into that here on News Talk 830-WCCO. It is Tech Talk. Doug Swinhart in for the entire hour. Here's how you get involved. The StylesFinancial.com talk and text line, 651-461-9226. If you call, you'll visit with Josh Wheeler, our producer. If you text, that'll come right into the studio, and we'll get it on the air. And let's start right at the top. My Sumatra PDF reader has a search bar where I can search a PDF document for a word that I type into the search bar. It works on most PDF documents, but there's occasionally a document where it doesn't work. What's going on there? Do you have any idea?
Yeah, the document that it doesn't work is probably protected. They've locked it so no changes can be made, and that's going to stop that searching as well. I really like Sumatra, by the way. I've been using it for two decades. I really like it. It's clean, it's small, it just runs. So that's probably what's happening. You can't say for sure until you look at it, but if you can pull that PDF into Libre Writer and you can edit it, then it's not protected. And sometimes they don't even tell you if it's protected. You just can't change it. That really is probably what's happening there. And I hope that helps.
Yeah, but, PDF's kind of the gold standard right now. And
sure.
Every now and then, I will run into a problem where, you know, trying to print a PDF or trying to open it gets a little glitchy. And to me, I just simply do this. Shut all the programs down, restart the computer, and things get back to normal. PDFs, as much as anything, are my trigger that something's a little weird going on and I need to do a reboot.
Oh, no doubt.
It's funny. It's kind of like the canary in the coal mine. But that's how I look at it. Oh, if it's getting a little glitchy, I better restart.
That's an excellent scenario. It comes right back to the point to where sometimes you just need to reboot. And it might be PDFs that is your key. Whatever your key is, don't hesitate to restart. It's a lot quicker than trying to fix something that didn't need to be fixed, and you end up actually reconfiguring things that don't need to be reconfigured, and it'll cost you more time to undo it. So, yeah, it's a good idea. Good idea.
Let's jump onto the phone. Bruce in Bloomington. You're on the air with Doug.
Well, good afternoon, Doug.
Hi, Bruce.
I've got a question for you. I have a desktop computer that I've been using for years, probably 5 or 6 years. But lately, within the last couple, 3 or 4 weeks, I keep getting this message about every other day to activate Windows.
Oh, my.
And it's like a ghost message in the right-hand corner.
Yep.
I run the activation troubleshooter, and it solves it. I even went into Microsoft, and I re-entered the product key. But I still keep getting the message. Do you know what else I can try?
Well, I want you to give me a call next week, preferably in the AM, and I think I can correct that for you. This is a strange thing with Windows, and it really depends on what version you have, but I think I can get that corrected for you. So, yeah, give me a call sometime next week, and I'll walk you through that. It's it's kind of tricky to do, and maybe a little lengthy for the radio, but, yeah, I'll take care of you, Bruce. Yeah, no question.
And by the way, we'll have Doug's phone number and email at the end of the program, and you can reach out to him in the coming week. Doug, would that be a circumstance where something weird or unusual is going on where there would be a benefit to running Pervasor?
It might. Chances are, you know, Pervasor is not going to play with licenses for any software, especially the operating system. It could. I have a feeling that we saw a number of years ago where there was some malware floating around that would trigger this. And I don't know what the purpose was other than to just make Windows look bad. And that's where the fixes come in. Malware bytes, where it does a whole clean thing. That might correct it as well. But generally, you got to go into the registry and change some things in the registry, and then you're up and rolling. It's I think also that Microsoft, when it comes to end of life for operating systems, has a tendency of triggering that license as well. It's a strange situation. It really is. And it shouldn't happen, but it does. I've never seen anything like that on an Apple machine, by the way. I never have. It's just a difference in operating systems, but we'll get them taken care of.
Yeah, and by the way, brought up an older Windows machine. And when you get an older machine that's still running good, this would be a great candidate for some version of Linux. Wouldn't you agree that, especially if it's in good shape and it's been well taken care of, maybe move beyond Windows at some point?
Oh, absolutely. You know, the big thing with that is just the experience an individual gains in expanding their mind to another operating system is huge. And it's not that time-consuming. If you spend a little time with YouTube and go to a couple of Linux websites, I'd suggest Linux Mint for sure right off the top, and understand the difference in desktops and give it a run. You could actually buy a hard drive today just dirt cheap, a solid-state drive for $20, $30. Take your hard drive out and start with a fresh machine. So if necessary, you could go back in a matter of 20 minutes and you'd be back up in Windows. But if you have an aged operating system, I can't encourage Linux strong enough. It's just going to keep that hardware rolling along, and even if you buy a new machine, it's going to be nice to have that backup machine. Plus, you've got another place to store data. It just makes sense today. You know, things that a hardware level, the prices are going up steadily, but there are things that you can do that are pocket change and well worth your while. Good advice, Steve. Thank you.
Doug, we don't have time to get into this because we're up against the weather break here at 3:30, but we will get into the Windows app when we come back after the break, I promise. But I want to jump to another one. In the last week, while surfing on my phone or playing a game, I get a pop-up that looks like it's doing a virus scan, and then at the end I get a box that says my McAfee is expired, and another box pops up that says renew now.
Yeah.
Is this legit, or do I need to renew? What's going on?
No. A lot of these antiviruses were installed right at the factory before that machine ever left. And these things are buried deep in the registry. There's some cleaners that you have to get a hold of, and they're free. Remove antivirus removal tool is probably my favorite. It's a download for free, and it'll find it, and it'll correct it and take all that out. That really bothers me. This type of fear marketing and push marketing, I have never agreed with.
Yeah, that is tough. 3:29, we'll have an update on the weather. Cool and breezy on Sunday, but then another warm, very dry week coming up here in the Twin Cities and more Tech Talk. And by the way, you can visit with us on the stylesfinancial.com talk and text line, 651-461-9226. 651-461-9226 is a great way to reach Doug here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. It is Tech Talk. Doug Swinhart joining us here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. And if you want to visit with Doug, you can call or text the stylesfinancial.com talk and text line. The number is 651-461-9226. And another reminder, if you missed part of the show today or want to hear previous shows, Tech Talk is available, the podcast. We invite you to download it, check it out. Go to WCCORadio.com and check out WCCO Tech Talk, and you'll get to all of those podcasts and a lot of evergreen material and so on and so forth. So we invite you to take advantage of that. All right, Doug, from earlier in the hour, I want to get to this text, and I haven't really heard about it or played with it, but Microsoft has something called the Windows app.
Yeah.
What is this all about?
Well, they produced this now, and this is for right now, it's strictly for their business clientele, but they're talking about opening it up full for their consumers. If you have, for example, an account with Windows Azure Virtual Desktop or Windows 365, which is a cloud-based Microsoft Windows, or Microsoft DevBox, you can have five or six devices connected, and this is actually going to sync them all. And what's new about this is it's, okay, we're going to put it on your iPhone or your iPad or your Mac, and we'll connect that as well. I'm not so certain that Apple is totally happy with this, but an app is an app, so here it comes. Microsoft is really pushing going towards the cloud 100%. So they really don't even want to have an operating system that isn't cloud-based very soon. And that came out during the FTC versus Microsoft back in June, where they actually partial won that case where they're trying to buy a $68 million Activision game. But this Windows app is really, it's going to be interesting. I have yet to see it. And it's, if you're a 100% Microsoft person, it's going to be a great thing to coordinate all your devices. But at the same time, you know, Google and Apple with their cloud services, they are like, in my opinion, a little bit ahead of Microsoft on that era, but Microsoft's gaining leaps and bounds. I wouldn't get too excited as a consumer to have it. I think that sometimes that separation in devices is a good thing. If you delete a file by accident, we can go to the other device, but if it's that instantaneous, it's going to be gone all over. I just don't think it's totally a good thing. That's my opinion.
Yeah, and Doug, we have brought this up on the program before, and I think this is a good instance. You have a job, that's great. You have your personal email. I'm a big believer in keeping a strict dividing line between personal and work. Right. And I think the people that get that stuff entangled or are using work computer or work email for personal stuff, you know, things change. You may change jobs. You may lose your job, etc. It can get really, really messy. I think it's important to have a personal email account or two and keep your personal stuff strictly separated from your work stuff. And I've talked to way too many people, and my wife in her job deals with all the time, where educators will start to mix their work stuff, and then they change school districts. And the school district will say, oh, by the way, we need that laptop back.
Yeah.
You know, that's not yours. And and she sees that a fair amount. My point being is, once again, keep that clear line between work and personal when it comes to email or all of that other stuff.
I learned early in my career that over-integration is not a good thing.
Yeah.
And if you don't have 100% clear, concise understanding of how this syncing is taking place, when it's taking place, and you got to have one machine, in my opinion, that really serves as the Godhead. But if you get this thing tied in knots, it can take hours and hours and hours to unwind. Just go into this thing with a little bit of caution and be prepared to expand your knowledge as to, you got to know how it's doing it manual first. Yeah, this automatic syncing, I'm not such a big favor. Keeping your business and personal separate, I think it's essential. I think it should be just as important of the non-commingling of business and personal as money business and your personal money if you're self-employed. You can't commingle funds. You just can't. And it's same thing. Just caution. It's too quick and too easy to get yourself tied in knots, and then you got an issue. I keep an eye on this Windows app, though. I'm going to watch this pretty close. I was aware of this as well, and it's to me, it's a little scary. I'm not certain I want Microsoft in my Apple equipment. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, and I think what they're doing, and you made a great point about this, you know, for years and years, Google has done such a great job with your Gmail and Drive and so on and so forth, and you can log in from another machine and get to your mail, get to Drive, get to some of these other apps, and that's great. But once again, that would be in a personal space.
Correct.
And at my full-time job, we use Google as well. So it's a bit more of a challenge. If I'm creating a document, it's kind of like, oh, yeah, I got to make sure I put it in the right drive, if you mm-hmm. will, to keep that stuff separated. And that's where it gets challenging. It's super convenient to be managing a lot of things on a personal level on Google, but on a business level on Google, same thing. And CCO Radio went over to that Google suite of services as well. So now there's three different ones to keep track of.
Right.
And that can get confusing. And the idea, I don't want all of that stuff to sync. I really don't.
No. That's my point right there in a nutshell. And the thing is with Google, you just create another account. Right. I mean, they not only agree with that, they actually want you to do this. Keep the stuff separate. And it's really, I think it's easier to keep it separate, because if you can't find it one place, you can go to another. You might want to have a copy on two places, but do it manual. Have control of your data. That's my point.
3:42, 18 minutes now in front of 4 here at CCO. Doug, this is a good one. And it is from our text line. Mm-hmm. I have Windows 10 with a Firefox browser. Normally, after a search on Google, I click on a link, and it brings the site up in a new window. Worked like that for years. A Google update came through, and since then, when I click on the link, after search, it opens up the site in the same window. I go to Google settings, change it, but it doesn't stick.
Well, actually, that's a setting in Firefox. I just go right down to settings, and I believe it's under privacy and search, I think. Let me see here. Yeah, that's a setting in Firefox, not Google. Google can't control your Firefox browser that way. Now, you might be able to control your Chrome browser that way, but not Firefox. That's a setting under Firefox, I'm sure of it. I've got all my Firefox set up to where if I get a new link, it opens up a new tab. I just want it that way. It just makes much more sense.
All right. So that would be in Firefox. And once again, friendly reminder, you brought it up earlier in the program. Keep those browsers updated and have multiple browsers. Firefox, Chrome, there's a lot of good ones. I know you've recommended others. If you're good, Brave, you've talked highly about Brave.
Yep, can't say enough good things about them. Yeah, it's right under the general setting. It's the first page when you hit your settings under Firefox, and just pop on down underneath tabs. It says open links and tabs instead of new windows. Bang, spap that one, and you're good to go.
All right, very good. When we come back, another big one on the program. Someone with Google Chrome, Google has forgotten all their passwords, and they're looking for a new password manager as a result. That's scary. If you've been storing passwords and all of a sudden they're gone. But what is a good password manager? We'll get Doug's thoughts on that in a moment. It is Tech Talk, and our number is always 651-461-9226. There is still time for a call or a text. And we always welcome that on all our shows here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. It is Tech Talk with Doug, Saturdays between 3 and 4. And tell your friends about the podcast. It is available 24/7 at WCCORadio.com. Just search WCCO Tech Talk and download away. We'd be thrilled if you would take advantage of that. By the way, all the news and weather at 4, we'll go outdoors with Steve Carney, and then we'll get started with college football final. We'll update you on the other sports headlines, talk a little Vikings before we say goodbye. All right, Doug, we want to go to Bonnie and Annandale on the phone lines. First, Bonnie, you're on the air with Doug.
Hi. I have an audio question. My dad was on hospice about 10 years ago, and he had a music therapist, and he and my mom sang with her. And my mom passed away about a month ago, and in her things, I found some discs, and the therapist said, the video is a bit blurry, but the audio is great. Try playing it in a media player, Drive D, or a QuickTime player. And I have an old TV that has a VHS CD in it. I tried that, and it says incorrect disc.
You're better off to play that on a computer. And I would suggest that if you don't already have it, you download and install VLC Media Player. And it's open source, so you can have it for free. But that thing will play anything. That's just the best. And you could also be confused with what's called pathing. If this is on like a CD or a DVD, your TV might not understand that format. That's a completely different issue. But if you're on a computer and you stick that CD or DVD in, your computer should be configured so it just opens up Windows Explorer, if you're in Windows, or whatever file manager you have with your operating system, and goes right to those files, and you double-click and open it. But download and install VLC Media first. And it's a wonderful media player. I think every PC owner should have it. And I hope that helps.
All right. Very good. Good luck with that for sure, Bonnie. Let's get to this. Google Chrome has forgotten all our passwords. Yeah. It's from our text line. We did not change any settings. Any idea how it happened? And then beyond that, can you recommend a good password manager? This is from Brett in Hudson.
Yeah, hi, Brett. Nice to hear from you. You know, the first time I heard this, I went, oh, yeah, that's user fatigue. That, no, Google never did. But, you know, I've heard it so much the last couple of weeks. I'm beginning to question if something ain't happening at Google. Now, password managers, you get so accustomed that you should take a copy of your password somewhere. My favorite manager, and I'm going to say it, Proton. Proton.me. And that thing is absolutely hands down the best password manager I have ever worked with. It's to die for. This thing will monitor your logins, tell you if you're repeating too many the same password, if your information is leaked out to the dark web. This thing just does so many things, and it is free. Now, they do have a paid version if you're getting a little bit more sophisticated with it, but it's dirt cheap. And I'd suggest, too, that you download Proton Mail and set you up an account with that as well. No reason you shouldn't have another email account. But check out Proton.me, Proton.me, and it is wonderful. And they're continuing to develop it. They've just come out with a new update here recently, and I swear mine's faster than ever. This thing is cloud-based, and it runs faster than it would if you had it installed on your machine. You get browser extensions. It's safe. It's secure. It really is the answer, in my opinion, and I hope that helps.
Wow, that is unusual, and I'm a little worried because I lean on Google to store my password. So
yeah,
I may need to try something new in a hurry.
There you go. Not Proton.me, Steve.
Doug, does it harm, from our text line, does it harm a router if I need to reboot it frequently? Had issues with internet going out, and the fix was to reboot. Worried about harming the router. Thank you. I have one thought on that. If you have to constantly reboot your router, you need a new router.
Yeah, I'd be the first to agree with that. And if you're being supplied with your router slash modem from CenturyLink or Xfinity, you tell them this, they'll give you a new one. It just happens. It's bizarre. Now, if you get a new one and day two the same condition starts, then you got to be looking at your outside lines, or is there something wrong inside your house? Start outside first, because probably anything wrong on the inside. But generally speaking, Steve hit the nail right on the head. You put a new router in there, your problems are probably gone just that quick.
Yeah, and it could be an overheating issue, or, I mean, there's just so many things that would go on with it. One of the other things, and I would assume all the big players, all the internet service providers, are able to run diagnostics from their end, mm-hmm. and they're able to pretty easily determine, are they getting a good signal all the way to your router?
They've
done an excellent job with that, and we've had CenturyLink for a long time, and whenever we have an outage, they're able to pinpoint it pretty quickly, and you don't need to talk to a human. You can just run it on the website, log in, and put in your information, and so on and so forth, and they run a scan, and they'll tell you what's going on. And, you know, 9 times out of 10, you know, someone ran into a pole and it, you know, damaged something, and they're working on it to get it back. But they should be able to narrow it down remotely. What's going on?
Oh, no question about it. One thing we should mention here with this as well, Steve, is if these people happen to subscribe to Xfinity, I would also say on Sunday night when you were getting ready to go to bed, unplug that modem router and leave it unplugged all night long. When you plug it in the morning, plug it in first before you turn on any of your devices. Give it plenty of time to train up. Your modem slash router is going to train up from your house all the way up to the chain. So you've actually reset all kinds of different equipment in between you and the outside world. It's a good idea to try that first before you call them about a new router, because sometimes people get a new router and really it's being trained up all the way up the chain, and maybe just that alone would correct it. Try that first. That's my advice.
Yeah, it is unusual. If you had to reboot really anything frequently, that there's something else going on. Doug, here's one. Proton VPN won't allow me to log into financial websites. I have to disconnect the VPN and no issues. What could be going on with that?
Oh, I have no idea. I think you probably selected the wrong address for when you were setting up your VPN. You can disconnect and you can select a different location. And it could be, too, that your bank doesn't totally understand VPNs yet. We still got some banks out there that they'll tell you, well, just disconnect your VPN. You should not have to do that. You shouldn't have to do it for Netflix or Disney or any of them. You really shouldn't. And especially your banks. You got this VPN to keep your data safe and to keep their ends safe as well. They should not request that you shut off your VPN ever, in my opinion. But a lot of people are doing that today. But Proton, if you're having that issue with Proton, I can almost guarantee you got to select a different location. And that's easy to do. Just open it up and disconnect and reconnect. And it should do it automatically, but you should select one manually.
All right.
And learn about that and should take care of it.
All right, we've got to run. Stephen Cottage Grove, quick idea. This must be an old idea, but I literally have an Excel file with my passwords. All right. On that note, Doug, your phone number and email quickly.
Thank you. 651-552-9543, admin@wccotech.com, admin@wccotech.com, 651-552-9543.
A lot goes into taking care of your property. You need equipment with more reliability, durability, and versatility built in. Like number one selling Kubota BX and L-Series compact tractors, Z-Series mowers that deliver a quality cut, and Sidekick utility vehicles where durability meets speed. Visit your local Kubota dealer for a demo today.
CEC Turf and Tractor. On the web at cecturfandtractor.com.
9543. And thank you, Steve. Have a good day.
All right, very good. We'll talk to you in a week, Doug. Tech Talk Saturdays here.
Great.